God did not send his son to condemn, but to save. I can't tell you how glad it makes me to hear little ones crying, little ones, what do you call it, cooing. I love that. Do you realize your God and Savior Jesus cried and cooed as a newborn baby? This is the mystery that we're celebrating tonight. Amen. Right on cue. And you know, we can go anywhere in the scriptures and find Christmas, because the whole book is about Jesus, is it not? Jesus is all over the pages of the scriptures. And I want to just draw your attention to one verse right in the middle of one of Paul's letters to the church at Corinth. Because this one verse, a familiar verse, doesn't it seem to you that it is Christmas all wrapped up in a neat, clear package for us to savor tonight? For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, says Paul, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. That's what I meant earlier when I said tonight we've come to celebrate the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then I asked you all, do you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ? 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9 gives us the gospel. And it tells us that the gospel for you and I is really a rags to riches story. And it is only so because the incarnation is a riches to rags gift from our God. The Lord Jesus Christ was rich before he was born into humanity. Well, what a strange thing for the Spirit to lead Paul to write. But he's reminding us, as did the Apostle John in his first gospel, that Jesus did not begin his existence in that dirty manger in Bethlehem. Jesus is the eternal Son of God. Jesus has no beginning, as God has no beginning. Before the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, God the Son enjoyed all the riches of heaven. Those wise men, the Magi, brought the Christ child gold and frankincense and myrrh that he had created himself. Even the gold not yet discovered in the world was created and is owned by Jesus. Psalm 50, the Lord says, if I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and all its fullness. God the Son has all, and God the Son needs nothing. The Son from eternity past was rich not only in possessions, but rich in power, the scripture says. He is the one whose powerful word spoke the universe into existence, breathed life into mankind, made the land produce its beauty and its bounty for us. He is the one who says in power to the sea, this far you may come, but no farther. Here your proud waves must cease. I love that verse in Job. It's the power of God the Son. Paul says in Colossians 1, for by the Son, by God the Son, all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible. All things were created through him and for him. For him, though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. Rich in possessions, rich in power, rich in honor. Think of this. All the worship of heaven had always been directed at him. Adored by holy angels, his majesty and glory, the theme of every song, and the wonder of creation itself. Surely you see this as you're looking out at God's handiwork. It reflects back honor to his name, doesn't it? Every sunset you enjoy, every lightning bolt you try to run away from, every unique snowflake, not one of them like the other, sings of his glory. Oh, how rich was God the Son before he was born to us. And yet, what has God the Son done with his richness? Paul says, though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. And that word became, it's kind of an important word. It's telling us that God the Son became something he had never been. Human, just like you're human, just like I'm human. Heaven's King set aside all of that richness that I just started to describe to unite himself to humanity. How intimately do you suppose? He took upon himself our poor, frail, finite humanity. We have some expectant parents in our fellowship here at Hayden Bible, and that's an exciting thing, don't you think? Don't you think?
Yeah.
Give them some encouragement, guys. And the cool thing for these, you know, the new parents is they can get pictures of their babies before they're born. That never happened in Mary and Joseph's day, this ultrasound business, you know. They're measuring stuff in the child long before he enters the world officially. And just think of that in terms of the incarnation. Immeasurable God suddenly became measurable in his humanity, as we're measurable before we're born. Uncontainable God suddenly contained in a womb and then born the way any other human is born. Weak, needy, helpless, babbling like that. That is precious. Isn't that precious? Don't be bothered by that. But, you know, Jesus' poverty speaks more in particular of his condescension from eternal King of Kings to lowly servant of sinners like us. It's not just his humanity that we celebrate, but what he did with his humanity. Jesus set aside his divine privileges and served you by living a real human life that was a perfect reflection of God's holy character. Do you realize that you were created to reflect God's holy character? How's that working out? You were created to do that and you failed. I was created to do that and I have failed. And what does God call that failure? Well, if you paint, you're called a painter, right? If you write, you're called a writer. If you sin, you're called a sinner. This is not complicated. You and I are sinners. And we are sinners by nature. We're born this way. And we're sinners in practice. Our consciences tell us that. But our King, though he was rich, took upon our likeness. And he lived that holy life that you were created to live and can't live. And then he took that perfect human life to Calvary's cross, simply to atone, to pay the penalty for your sin. He took upon himself the condemnation that you deserve from God, and me too. And then with the same power that spoke everything into existence. In power, Jesus rose from the dead. And he did so to bring many sons and daughters to glory. I pray tonight that in your own conscience you have the affirmation that you are a son or daughter of God. Do you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ? Why would God do this? God the Son has everything and needs nothing. Why would God do this? Just look at the text. For your sakes, he became poor. In other words, you stand before God impoverished apart from grace. And how will poor, condemned sinners like us ever be right with God? And friend, Christmas reminds you, the incarnation reminds you that you cannot look for the answer within yourself. You must look to God. You must look to God's gracious provision in Jesus. In Jesus, that is heaven's answer to the question of how we can be right with God. Removes any doubt that we might have about whether God loves people like us, whether God has kindness toward people like us. He became poor, says Paul, for your sakes. But you know, we have to read the rest of the verse to really get at the full sense of Christmas, don't we? For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might become rich. Do you realize, Christian, that you are rich in God? Do you live that way? As one who is rich in God? In Christ, we become something we had not been by nature, could never be on our own. We become sons and daughters of God. We come to Christ from a position of immeasurable poverty. But by grace alone, Christ exchanges our sin for his holiness. Oh, how rich we are. You know, this happens to me every year, and I don't know why it surprises me, but it does. But I normally hesitate to put up Christmas lights, because I don't like to do it. And I thought that moving into a condo would exempt me, but in case you're wondering about such things, it does not. And so not all that long ago, I was putting up my pathetic little light display, and the same thing happened last year. I put several strands of perfectly working, matching lights in a tub, and I sealed it. It was airtight. I put it in storage. No one has touched it. As far as I know, no one has looked at it. And what happened? If you take them out this year, not a one of them works. Not a one of them. And this is one of the mysteries of our universe, really, isn't it? It's like, where does the sock go, the matching sock? Nobody knows this stuff. And you know, it seems to me that these brighter blessings that we speak of around this time of year, joy, peace, love, hope, these things for many of us come and go once or twice a year. And I want to encourage you from the scriptures tonight that God is saying to you, it does not have to be that way. These things are not meant to be packed away and stored. They are meant to be enjoyed. Day after day after day. Christian, you are rich in Christ. Don't take my word for it. Just look at the Bible. Let me just remind you how you are rich in Christ. Do you realize you who belong to Jesus by faith, you are rich in forgiveness? How many of you remember your own sin? How many of you remember your own sin against yourself? Okay, you're playing that through in your mind. Here's what God says. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. You are rich in forgiveness. Stop worrying about forgiving yourself. You don't have the authority to forgive yourself. God has forgiven you through the work of Christ. Christian, you are rich in holiness. The scripture says, though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. How rich you are to be clothed in the very righteousness of Christ. If you're in Christ tonight, you are rich in love. Can it really be true that God personally, intimately loves somebody like me? I don't even love me. I'm just saying. People struggle with that, right? Listen to what God says. Yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. You wouldn't even belong to me were it not for my love. You didn't find me, God says. I found you. I drew you to myself. You are rich in love. In Christ, you are rich in power. The very power of God lives in you by His Spirit to enable you to live the way you were created to live. For the Christian, there is no such thing as I can't. There's simply I won't. You were created to live in holiness, with gladness, with purpose, with hope, and it can be so because the Spirit of God in you makes it so. And yes, there are remnants of the sin nature, are there not? And even the world around us conspires against the life God calls us to live. But here's what our Lord says. You are of God, little children, and have overcome. He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. In Christ, you are rich in relationship. I was talking to somebody a few days ago about how this time of year seems to bring out the funk in their family. You know what I'm saying? The strained relationships, and you know, you got to be careful not to do this around so-and-so and don't say this to so-and-so and all of this sort of thing. And I don't know if you have a family, but families can be that way sometimes, right? Do you realize that when you belong to God's family, that changes? Why does it change? Because the great prayer of our Lord before he went to the cross for us is being answered. He said, Father, I pray that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us. You belong to God and his family. So that everywhere you turn, just about everywhere you turn on this planet these days, you run into family. And even if your own flesh and blood won't own you, your heavenly family does and loves you and needs you and you them. In Christ, you are rich in acceptance. You know, we live in a world where people are always measuring each other. Have you noticed this? People are always measuring. Sometimes they let you feel the weight of their measure of you if you don't measure up to them. Do you realize that God himself now measures you by the perfection of his own Son? And he is pleased with you because you belong to the Son with whom he is well pleased? In Christ, you are rich in life. Just as Jesus rose again, never to die, so he has removed the sting of death for all who are in Christ. Our hope, even in the face of our greatest enemy, death itself, is the same as our great shepherds who said, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen? You are rich in Christ. Why? Because though he was rich, for your sakes he became poor. I only got it started. I listed 7 things there. And I was joking with the earlier service. I said, you guys, there would be no time pressure, so I would just keep going. And they all laughed at your expense. Because that's the Christian thing to do. But here's the thing, I won't keep going. But I do want to encourage you, to believers, continue this conversation in your homes. How is it that we are rich in Christ? Do you realize that we could meet for 1,000 Christmas Eves and not exhaust the wonder of our richness in Christ? You cannot earn these rich blessings. You must receive them by faith. That's what that word grace is all about. So let me ask you this. Do you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ? And if the Holy Spirit is working in your heart right now and enabling belief in this Jesus who is God with us, let me just encourage you, friend, trust in Christ. Surrender yourself to his grace tonight. Surrender to the one who, though he was rich, became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this wonderful verse, which so clearly and succinctly gives us your message of love in Christ. I pray, Lord, that we would not be those believers who take these blessings out and look at them once or twice a year and then pack them away. Lord, you came to give us life, life lived in the reality of these riches in Christ Jesus. May that be our testimony. And Lord, I pray that if there's any heart here that arrived wayward, wandering from you, Lord, would you arrest that heart by your grace? We pray this, Jesus, in your name. Amen.